All right, welcome back, Tasty Crypto Show. I'm Ryan Grace. He's Mad Mike Martin. It's Wednesday, April 24th, episode 23.
23 already?
Yes, sir.
When did we start doing this?
About 23 episodes ago, Mike.
Wow.
Two shows a week coming at you, 25 minutes of fire. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
All right. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's springtime in Chicago. We have some rough weather coming in, but this weekend it's going to be the 80s. It's
beautiful.
Yeah. Any fun weekend plans?
I've got no weekend plans, man. Just trying to make it through the week here.
All right. We'll
see if we can do that. But just taking a quick look around the board. I know we don't talk about this all that often since this is the crypto show. But, really red from what I can see here. Equities down, bonds down, commodities down in terms of crude oil. You've got gold down, Bitcoin's down, everything's down. Facebook's down.
Facebook is down huge if you caught those earnings.
So we'll see. There is at times a pretty strong positive correlation between crypto and what happens with the rest of the world, right? Yeah. I don't think that's any surprise. People will say, you need this in your portfolio as a diversifier. I think you do. I think there's potential, upside returns there, obviously, that this diversifies or adds that component to. But when you have a sell-off, when volatility picks up in the markets, you typically see, it spill over into crypto as well. We're seeing that here today.
Yeah. And, these are just healthy markets as I look at them. My father gets frustrated on every down day, but that's not how it works.
Yeah. Well, can't win them all.
You can't win them all. If you could win them all, we'd all be billionaires by now, but you can't.
Mike, I want to talk about a concept here today on the show, or maybe more so. You came up with today's topic. So
I did.
You want to talk about a concept on the show. We're going to get into the details of tokenomics, explain what that means, how we think about it. We're going to break down the differences between a cryptocurrency and a token, the different types of tokens that exist out there. Some basic stuff, but I think it's a great place to start. We've also got a new little segment that we're going to add to the show here called Ask Tasty Crypto. And you guessed it, we're going to answer a question. So a little Q&A session. If you do want to ask a question on the show, you can email us support@tastycrypto.com. You can hit me up, hit Mike up, Ryan@tastycrypto, Mike@tastycrypto. Shoot us an email, follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. Also got the live chat open here on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, pop something in the chat.
And with these questions, feel free to get as personal.
Okay. We'll let you handle that side of it.
Yeah.
But sure.
There's no question I won't answer it.
Fair enough. Let's kick it off. Tokenomics explained. Maybe to start with, what the hell is tokenomics?
Tokenomics. You ready for this?
Yeah, what is this?
We have tokens.
Okay.
And we have economics. Plow them together and you get tokenomics.
Okay.
So tokenomics is important because without tokenomics, what are cryptocurrencies? It's like buying a stock without having any idea what the stock is about, if they make money, how they make money, where they've been historically, what community is involved, which is kind of like the board.
Sure.
So tokenomics really gives us visibility into the health of both crypto coins and tokens. Crypto can be confusing. I know I was confused years ago when I learned about tokens, coins, and cryptocurrency, right? About if you're brand new, it's very confusing because
it's all the same, but it's different.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Cryptocurrency is on top. Underneath cryptocurrency, we have coins, right? It's a hierarchy of sorts. And then underneath coins, we have tokens. So cryptocurrencies encapsulates all forms of crypto. And it's divided into a coin and into a token.
Okay, that's like your term. Then you've got these two categories.
Yeah.
So let's talk about coins. Let's talk about cryptocurrency. I think you've really got to key in on the currency aspect here. That's what's important to me. And I think that's what kind of, stands out. Or that's that light bulb moment when you're talking about this. What is a coin versus a token?
A coin is the product of what's called a consensus mechanism, but perhaps we don't need to go into that right now.
Okay.
A coin is the medium of exchange for a blockchain.
Okay.
And when I say blockchain, I'm talking Bitcoin is a blockchain. Ethereum is a blockchain. Some people say the blockchains, but there's different, it's not the blockchain. There's many different, there's hundreds of different blockchains, and there's thousands of different tokens. So a coin you can think of as like it's a network. Right? The Bitcoin network, the Ethereum network, almost like you can think of the internet, right?
Sure.
And on top of the internet, you could build Web 2 apps. But on top of these blockchains, you can build decentralized applications.
Web 3 apps.
Web 3 apps. And these apps are called the product of these apps, how you interact with these different protocols, they have their token.
Okay. So sticking with coins for a second, we have a few of those blockchain networks here at the bottom of the screen, layer ones, if you will. We've got Solana, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin. I think the best known cryptocurrency is obviously Bitcoin, the first. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about when we talk about a native coin, native to that blockchain, the cryptocurrency on that blockchain. It's not that there aren't others that, or in a sense that there's tokens on the chain, but this is that pure value mechanism on the chain. This is the value transfer mechanism. So if I'm going to send value across the Bitcoin network, I'm going to do that through Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency, or the coin. If I'm going to pay fees to use a decentralized application that runs on top of Ethereum, I'm going to pay those network fees or those gas fees in ETH, the native cryptocurrency of that blockchain. That's the really important thing to understand. Beyond that, we have tokens. What's a token and how is this different from a coin?
So a token, well, first of all, let's back up just a little bit here. So Bitcoin versus Ethereum, okay?
Okay.
Tokens are almost 50% of all tokens, at least 50%, are associated with the Ethereum network. The other ones are divided up between Solana and a few other networks that are called proof of stake. The Bitcoin network runs on proof of work. Okay, this was the first network. Everybody knows Bitcoin. It's the oldest. But they don't have the capability to natively store code, right? So code is, they call them smart contracts.
In terms of comparing it to what's happening on Ethereum.
Right. So a smart contract is, all tokens have what's called a decentralized application. And there's a front end, right? So Uniswap is a decentralized exchange. All these protocols are, the websites are front ends to interact with a smart contract. So when we're talking tokens, we're talking blockchains that can store smart contracts. Because you can't build a platform or host a smart contract on Bitcoin because Bitcoin doesn't natively allow it. There's some workarounds that are happening now.
Yeah, there's some upgrades, some improvements, some evolution.
A lot of controversy that's occurring.
But yeah, I think of the token then as existing on the blockchain, like we have written here on the slide, but it runs on top of it. It is, that's kind of how I think about it in my mind, at least. It's on top of that blockchain network compared to the underlying cryptocurrency, which is the value transfer mechanism on the network itself, or is native to that. And the token, I mean, tokens can be created. Like you said, there's thousands and thousands of tokens. There will be thousands and thousands more. They're deployed using a smart contract. Right. We'll get into, you know, some of the details around that. But what I want to talk about next is why they exist in the first place. Sometimes it's just fun. Meme coins are fun. It represents culture in some sense. It represents community on chain. It's a way to participate. But when you look at a lot of the protocols that exist out there, I think you had mentioned, or we have here on the screen, we've got Uniswap, we've got Aave, we've got Lido. These tokens play a role within that ecosystem. These tokens could be utility tokens, security tokens. Well, not so much in an ecosystem, but when I think of a security token, we'll talk about what that is in just a second, it represents something on-chain. It could be used for on-chain governance as well. These are decentralized protocols, but they have DAOs. There is a governance component to it, and this is the role that the token then might play. It doesn't necessarily mean the token has value itself, but given how this all fits together, quite often, you know, people find a lot of value embedded in this. Well, so let's talk about those types of tokens.
It's almost like when we look at things like governance, it's almost like a proxy for the equity market, where if you have a share of stock, you can get a say in certain things. If you own, let's go back to Uniswap, for example. So if you own the majority of those tokens, you could essentially dictate what happens to the network, right?
Yeah, I think in the same way that, you know, going back to your analogy, when you think about corporate finance and corporate governance and you know, the role that shareholders play in terms of voting rights, if you own a significant number of shares, then you're likely going to have a seat on the board. You're likely going to, because you can, you know, control a lot of the voting rights, you're going to have a say in the overall operations of the company. That does exist to an extent in these decentralized protocols. So we have the governance component to it where you might have voting rights. Yeah. You're gonna have various proposals. And then if that proposal passes, as everybody that holds these tokens has the ability to vote on it, then it's gonna be implemented. But when you're a token holder, or if the purpose of the token, is for governance purposes, then that's going to be part of the role. The other thing that's interesting here is just utility token. And I think when you look at most of these, you know, one of the components of utility is governance. Mm-hmm. So we've split them out into kind of three different types. But you really think about it as utility tokens and security tokens.
Utility tokens. Sometimes they can all be tied into one too.
Yeah, it absolutely could be but this is the same thing.
This is the reason, one of the primary reasons to own a crypto is you have a say in the network. And this can tie into what we were talking about before, tokenomics, because before you buy a coin, you want to make sure one party doesn't have 51% control because they dictate everything that happens to the future of the network, right?
Sure.
So you want to have those tokens spread out. You know, maybe some people, they created the protocol at 15% and the other, you know, 85 is allocated to just the people across the world. That's kind of an ideal scenario. So you want to spread that control out so there's not one person. If one person, for example, had 51%, you know, the Bitcoins that are in existence, they could essentially crash the network. It's called a 51% attack.
Yeah, it's not so much decentralized in that case if just one or two entities own all of the tokens.
Right, which they could do. I don't know how much that would cost, but it would cost, you know, several hundred billions of dollars to crash the Bitcoin network, which is not impossible.
So utility tokens, governance is a function of that. The other token that I want to talk about here are security tokens. And this has definitely become a theme. I think it's going to be a larger investment theme here this cycle when you look at what's happening with protocols that facilitate real-world assets. You look at a lot of assets that are moving on-chain. But when we talk about security, it's not so much cryptographic security or making something secure, protecting it. This is security in the sense of financial securities, tokens that represent real-world assets, RWAs, so you think about that as a currency, equities, derivatives that are tokenized, bonds, fixed income that's tokenized, other instruments there. The biggest one being, you know, everyone looks at real-world assets. Oh, we're going to have money market funds that move on-chain. You're going to get some yield. The biggest real-world asset on-chain is the U.S. dollar via a stable coin.
Sure.
So that's another way to think about security tokens. And when you think about a stable coin like USDC on Ethereum, Ethereum is the blockchain, obviously. USDC is the token then that's being transferred on top of it.
And we use it in this country mainly as a, you know, a means, a volatility hedge. But these tokens, these are worldwide. This gives everybody in the world access to the stability of the U.S. dollar. In the future, anybody can buy a share of Amazon. It's very restricted now to get access to U.S. stocks in a lot of the world. This democratizes the entire financial system and access to it. You know, as we talk about the future of real estate with NFTs, I guess that's a different subject, but not all too different, in that it allows everybody to participate, and it adds so much liquidity to the system because there's so many more participants in it. The options are just, they really take off. Security tokens, especially of real-world assets, I think in the next 10 years, you know, there's been studies on tokenization, and it's all astronomical. Everyone I've seen, the potential growth for tokenization coming up in the next 10 years.
Yeah, I think it's only going to continue, right? And I think if you've got it on your screen, when you click on that, it's kind of bouncing around on the slides.
Oh, I see there. That.
It's all good. But when you think about that, you know, I really don't think it's much of a step or a jump from where we are today to say that securities like Apple stock are going to be tokenized. They're going to be represented on chain. When you think about settlement, you think about decentralized exchange and automated market makers facilitating transactions. I don't think that's going to be the only way, but I really do think that you're going to move from, you know, what's a digital representation today in centralized databases to, you know, something where you're going to see this just exist on chain in terms of, you know, your Apple stock. It just moves around on a blockchain instead of files between different counterparties or different clearing firms.
The efficiency is hard to ignore. It's an inevitability to me that in time, you know, once everything's straightened out and the people actually figure out how to access this and they feel safe, it will take off. Unless somehow it is completely shut down. But
well, look, I mean, like you mentioned, this is the internet. It's global. You're going to have varying degrees of regulation and enforcement. Obviously, we've seen that in the U.S. here. So there's going to be some constraints. to this technology, at least early on, as there are today with the internet, right? The internet is not the same for everybody in every country. But I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think it can be shut down in that sense. But let's move on really quickly. Let's talk about, you know, how these can be deployed, because really anybody can create a token. You can launch it. You're going to have to pay gas fees in order to do this, depending on the network that you're on. You've seen the rise of meme coins. You just wrote an article about the Base network and some of the meme coins that exist on Base. Recommend everybody checking that out at tastycrypto.com. But how do you deploy a token? You're going to need a smart contract. There's a lot more that goes into this, obviously, than what's up here on the screen. But when you do that, you're going to decide, what is the token's name? What is the symbol for this token? When you deploy these sorts of tokens, they're fungible. So you have to have a, you know, token standard. When we think about Ethereum, you have to decide what token standard you're going to adhere to.
A non-fungible token versus a fungible token is a non-fungible token is unique.
Yes.
It's a piece of art. Fungible token, which is the vast majority of cryptocurrencies, are interchangeable, just like the US dollar.
Yeah. I'd argue, though, that NFTs as a unique identifier have been attached to digital art.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
So we kind of think about an NFT as digital art. It's not. NFT is just an NFT. It's a non-fungible token. One of the use cases, though, has been to, you know, kind of create a degree of rarity or provenance, in a sense, when you attach it to digital artwork. But I hear what you're saying. The other things that you have to decide when you use a smart contract to deploy a token is the overall supply of that token, and then the rules in terms of, you know, how you can interact with this, how it can be transferred, and so on. One thing I want to hit on before we wrap up this discussion on tokenomics is something that's maybe a bit more applicable to trading in the market. And so if we can jump over to the browser here, we've got CoinMarketCap that we've pulled up. And I just want to show where you can look at some basic details around supply, because when you're trading something, it's really important to understand what the issuance looks like. In the same way that, you know, you think about a recent IPO. A lot of times companies go public. We've seen, you know, quite often that stock gets pumped. You know, maybe it trades higher than the initial level, whatever it might be. But ultimately, there is a lockup period that ends, and there's more supply that's going to come to the market, or the ability for insiders to sell. That gate opens, and you see a little bit of selling pressure. You have similar situations at times in crypto when you look at the supply, the total issuance of a token versus what's available in the market. So I'm just going to pick something here. It might not be the best example, but this is where you can see this information. We'll click on Chainlink. And what I want to point out on the left-hand side here is you can see the market cap, right? And then you can see the circulating supply versus the total supply and what that fully diluted market cap would look like or is implied given the current price. I would say everybody should just at least be aware of this, right? It's not necessarily going to have an impact on the day-to-day price. There are certain points in time where all of a sudden there's going to be a lot more tokens that are available to trade. There's an unlock in a sense. And so people might sell them. Doesn't mean that they're going to sell them, but you could certainly see selling pressure when those events occur. And so if we just use Chainlink as an example, you can see here the circulating supply, what's in existence right now that could be traded, is only 58% or almost 59% of the total supply. So if all of the supply were out there, it would imply a fully diluted market cap of $14 billion versus the current market cap of $8 billion, $8.6 billion. Doesn't mean that this couldn't be or shouldn't be worth $14 billion, but it's something to be aware of that there are a lot more tokens for sale in theory versus what's, you know, being traded in the market, what's trading hands right now. You can see this information in a lot of different places. You can see this in the Tasty Crypto app, other platforms as well, certainly here on CoinMarketCap. I just wanted to point that out because it is definitely something that should go into your overall investment thesis, what you should be aware of. Certainly when we think about the economics of tokens, this is going to play a role.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to remember that crypto tokens are not like stocks. There's no regulatory approvals. Anybody can launch a token. So if you're thinking about buying a token that isn't mainstream or popular, always do some research on it, because there's a chance, a good chance, you know, it could be what they call a rug pull.
Absolutely.
So this stuff is very important.
All right. Moving on from tokenomics, I want to take a quick look at our Ask Tasty Crypto question. If we can throw the slides back up here, and then we'll take a quick check of the markets before we wrap things up. But I thought this was a great question here following the recent Bitcoin halving event. So we had an email that came in and is asking, you know, will something similar happen to Ethereum? And there's a very quick kind of straightforward answer to this, but let's just address this really quickly here on the show. Does Ethereum have halving events programmed into the code in the same way that Bitcoin has halvings?
It does not.
Okay. Yeah, and it's just really a function of, you know, what Bitcoin is.
Answer the question.
Yeah, what the Bitcoin code. You know, Ethereum is similar to Bitcoin, but also much, much different, right? You think about the consensus mechanism, proof of work, you had mentioned earlier when we talk about Bitcoin, proof of stake when you talk about Ethereum. But there is no Ethereum halving. There are not the same sort of supply dynamics. I believe that it's currently deflationary, Ethereum is, in terms of issuance, but it could be inflationary. It has shifted into those zones, I suppose, at times, but it's definitely not the same when you think about Bitcoin as a, you know, hard money or store of value, so to speak. Ethereum is much different. From an investor's perspective, I personally believe that you want to have exposure to both. Absolutely. Right? We've talked about this on the show before. Again, similar, but two distinct categories of cryptocurrency. Yeah. You know, if you think about Bitcoin as the digital gold, Ethereum is kind of this world internet sort of computer, decentralized computer.
Like we said before, there's 10,000 different tokens that run atop Ethereum. So buying Ethereum is like, you know, buying the internet, and that you can profit. You know, if the tokens profit, if the protocol is worth, the network is going to work as well.
Yeah, it is that. I think what's key is it's that network effect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the kind of my view is the value of Ethereum is in more and more applications and more users coming to Ethereum. When you think about that from the macro perspective, I think there are definitely dynamics in markets that play a role as well, right? They're all positively correlated for the most part when you look at crypto. If we think that, you know, Bitcoin as a store of value, as a digital gold, is going to go up because the dollar is going to get weaker, or pick your favorite country's currency and it's being debased, right? If you believe that that's going to continue, then you're likely going to see higher crypto prices in those currencies.
Yeah.
Same thing with ETH, but definitely not being viewed as this kind of digital gold or store of value, whereas Bitcoin is. I think, again, Ethereum is the, you know, the internet computer.
They're completely different, in my opinion. That's why you have to have exposure to both. And even diversify, you know, it's diversified your crypto portfolio. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but if something does happen in crypto, these two are going to be leading the pack. Not as terms as in price, but as far as adaptivity and...
Yeah, for now, I mean, the market caps are the two largest, and, you know, there's nothing really indicating that that's going to change anytime soon. Long enough time period, who knows what's going to happen. Got an interesting, love this comment here in our YouTube chat. Samurai wallet website seized, founders arrested and charged with money laundering. When will Tasty introduce token mixing? I think we're going to stay away from token mixing. It seems like that gets you into trouble with the highest of powers in some sense, right?
Yeah.
Tornado Cash, OFAC sanctioned. We're trying to stay away from that. So no token mixing anytime soon. But we do have some cool features that are coming to the Tasty Crypto wallet I can speak to for a second. We've got Solana coming soon. We just launched on the Polygon network. But we've got Solana coming soon. We've got a complete revamp of the token details. So a lot of new data points, completely different look and feel. That's going to be fun. We've got push notifications coming so that any on-chain activity will notify you right away. So some nice updates coming in the next couple of weeks. Token mixing, though, is it's not on the roadmap. That said, Mike, let's wrap it up and take a look at our expected moves. Apologies, we were running late to the show. Got the wrong date on here, but this information has been updated for today. We've seen volatility come in quite a bit, even though you've got a little bit of downside price action here today. You still have, you know, ETH up over the last 5 days, though it's lagged on a monthly basis. But when we look at both Bitcoin and Ethereum, volatility coming in by about 10% or so. So we're well off of those highs. I think the high in ETH for the year is closer to 85%. If we look at a 30-day implied vol, that's come in a bit. Certainly doesn't mean that it's going to stay there. I do think that you're going to continue to see volatility kind of at these levels, but much smaller expected moves than what we've seen as a function of that. So your weekly range right here, this is the one standard deviation, as everybody knows on Tasty Live, simply a function of the underlying spot price and the forward 30-day implied vol. So 64,000, 63% implied vol, IV rank is still up there, but you're looking at about a $5,500, $5,600 move, well off of kind of that 10 to 11% expected move on the weekly basis, right? So that's your range. ETH, same thing. ETH is you know, clearly trading at a higher vol, so you're looking at about a 10% move there. And we've been, you know, we've kind of been trading around these levels too. Vol, implied vols have come in, but realized is, you know, you've seen larger swings here in the market. Yeah. What do you make of that, Mike? You seem to be deep in thought over there.
I don't know. Like I said before, we're going to be quiet for the next few months in crypto.
That's what you think.
That's what I think.
Okay.
I'm always right.
Yeah. I'm going to take the other side of that. And then again, shout out to our one comment question in the chat. If you guys have any questions, hit us up. Ryan@tastycrypto.com, Mike@tastycrypto.com. AI gone wrong. Shout out to you. Love the name in there. But that's going to do it for our show. We'll be back next Monday. I'll be back with Frank. He'll be back from wherever he's camping at. And then Mike.
Glamping.
Glamping. Glamorous camping. Mike will be back next Wednesday. Stay tuned. Thanks again for watching. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.
Till then, peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Live Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing